Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Raymond Thomas, your host of the Bronx Pop Show. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. Views expressed on the Bronx Pop Show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I have really only one segment, but it's going to be a long segment because we're going to be touching several subject areas. I'm sure you're aware that February is Black History Month, and I'd like to broaden it to it's American History Month, but a focused on specifically that history that impacts Black Americans. And I'd like to start the program by asking a question, especially those who are Black and live in the Black community. And the question is, what's the leading cause of death in the Black community? Is it violence? Is it heart disease? Is it cancer? Is it AIDS? Is it diabetes? Now think about it. What would you say? I was talking to the chairman of the department, Mass Communication Journalism Department, and his view was it was probably, or guess if you will, it was probably heart disease or cancer. He wasn't sure. And if you go on YouTube, there's actually some videos that were shot from people at various locations asking the same question. And you got the typical answers were that. Heart disease, cancer, AIDS, gang violence, accidents, drugs were the common answers. But none of them are the leading cause of death in the Black American communities across the United States. You might be asking, well, what is? And it just by accident, I was really going to lead off with a report of a doctor that died today. His name was Bernard Nathanson. And the name might not ring a bell, but the video that he produced might. And the name of that video was The Silent Scream. The Silent Scream. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the leading cause of death in the Black community since abortion became legal in 1973 by a wide margin is abortion. Since abortion became legal in 1973 as a result of a Supreme Court judge decision, there have been over 50 million abortions in the United States. 50 million abortions. To put that in a little perspective, the current population in the United States as of 2011 is about 310 million people as a result of the last census. Now, obviously, it grows every day. So 50 million people is a lot of people. What you need to keep in mind, and what's interesting, before abortion became legal, overwhelmingly, the illegal abortions were in the white community. The actual level of abortions in the Black community was quite lower. Today, roughly a third, between 30 and 35%, no one's sure is the exact figure, but roughly a third of all abortions performed in the United States today are performed on Black women. Primarily, about half of those are young teenagers, and as well as women in their 20s. And you can do the math. That means there have been over 16 million black babies that were aborted since 1973. That's a lot of people. That's even more people than the estimates of, at least the low range of the estimates of the number of illegal aliens that are in the country. That's a history that I'm not proud of, and I think many, many Americans are not proud of. Abortion is not rare. It's commonplace. Thousands are performed every day. Even though the rate of abortion has gone down since the early 90s, over a million abortions every year, are performed in the United States. The leading abortion state happens to be California, but I'm sitting in Texas. Abortion is unfortunately common in Texas as well. Thousands are done every year. And it's predominantly the black and Hispanic community that make the majority of those abortions. For those new to the Pronk Pop Show, I have a website that complements this radio broadcast. And you can view some statistical information that I have, as well as videos that complement this program. And what I mean by that is, when I prepare this show, I look at a lot of articles. I do a lot of reading. I also look at a lot of videos. And I can't give you all the videos or all the articles. So what I do is I give you a selection, a sample of some of the information I looked at in preparing this 1 hour show. And we're normally on between 4 and 5 on Tuesdays. We're gentleman that was doing the previous show was running a little bit long, so we started at 4:05, so I'll be going to 5:05 today. But I wanted to mention that site because, like I said, this month is Black History Month. And I need to say, for those that cannot tell by my voice, I'm not black, I'm white. And I have a few very close black friends. And I say that just as a background. But I recommend to all my audience, whether they're black, white, Chinese, Japanese, Muslim, whatever nationality, race you are, there's a video on there. It's a 13-part video. It was prepared primarily by blacks about black genocide. And I'll spell the name of the title because I'm afraid I'm going to mispronounce it. It's M-A-A-F-A, I believe it's Maafa 21. It's very famous. It's available. You can actually purchase it, but you can also watch it on YouTube. And if you're someone that's goes to YouTube, you'll find the same clip under different names, and I have it, the one I pulled off, the name of the title, just you look for the 13-part series. It's towards the middle, and I'm pointing this out. If you do anything during Black History Month, I'm recommending that you watch this video. Now, I have literally dozens. The title that I pulled it off YouTube is Abortion, Black Genocide in the 21st Century, Parts 1 through 13. And again, the actual title is M-A-A-F-A 21, Maafa 21. That's a Swahili word. And the killing of blacks continues every day in America, as well as outside of America, and it's mainly through abortion. Now, I want to put it in some historical context. What's going on here? And it's very much about American history. We have to go back to the progressive movement in the United States, which was roughly the late 1800s to approximately 1930, although it continued in the Roosevelt administration. And progressives, well, both historically and today, are primarily favor government intervention into the economy, into the personal affairs of individuals. They believe, rightly or wrongly, that it's government's job or responsibility to, let's say, control people's lives. Now, they wouldn't put it in those terms. It, you know, they're really to help you out. But their roots, and that's kind of the underlining, if you want to really tell a progressive from a non-progressive, they're real big on government intervention, whether it's domestically or at home or abroad. That's kind of one of their, one way to spot a progressive is, they think the answer to most problems is a government program and more government spending, more government regulation, more taxes. And today, at one time, they used to be called the liberals in the United States. Now, not American liberal is not the same thing as what Europeans would call a liberal. An American liberal in Europe would be a social democrat or a socialist or even a communist. In the United States, they used to call themselves liberals. Now they more or less insist on the word progressive. I'm a progressive. Doesn't that sound nice? It might sound nice to you, except if you know American history, and unfortunately, sad to say, fewer and fewer Americans have spent the time knowing their history. The roots of the, and there's some good points that, and let me first say, there are some good programs of progressives. I don't think everything that they did is bad. I think no one is saying that. But there is kind of a secret history that's seldom brought up. I'm not saying it's been erased, because people are aware of it. Many of the progressives in the 1890s, early 1900s, into the 20s and 30s, even going into the 40s, believed in eugenics. And for those that are not familiar with the term, it's the idea that there's some, and I have a video on this that really explains it in rather straightforward terms. I'm going to sort of summarize it. That certain people or groups are, quote, fit, more fit. And you should encourage the breeding or the growth in the population of, quote, the fit people. Conversely, there are other people that are unfit, and you should discourage the breeding or reproduction of those people. At its core, it's racist. It is a belief that there is, quote, a group that's superior or more fit, whatever word you would like. And you have what's called positive eugenics, which is to encourage those people to breed, to reproduce themselves. Conversely, the unfit group, one, you wouldn't like to discourage breeding, and they have a number of programs, and they still do. And we're going to get into what's happening today, because it's, ladies and gentlemen, it's still going on. Now, it's not called eugenics. It's sort of like global warming. You know, we had global cooling, then global warming, and now climate change. They kind of change the wording when someone blows the whistle and say you're really junk science. And I'm not going to get on a global warming. I've already done that show a couple of times. But that's what the same thing has happened. Eugenics is alive and well in the United States. And you guessed it, every day eugenics is going on in abortion clinics. And if you've been following the news, the Congress of the United States, or at least the House, I don't believe the bill is finalized, has proposed, and the bill in the House has passed, that all funding of abortions by Planned Parenthood be stopped. And that reflects, I believe, the majority view of the United States. Now, I know there is a split. I won't say an even split. I think 2 out of 3 Americans generally do not favor abortions, period, no matter who's funding it. So the pro-choice or pro-abortion is really a minority view in terms of the American people. But a secondary issue is whether or not the government should be funding abortions. And that, I think, is even by larger majorities or Americans are against it. And the reason it's come up is with Obamacare, part of that, the way the bill is worded, the government will indirectly be funding abortions. And you have to keep in mind, and we're going to be discussing Planned Parenthood, but the leading abortion company business, even though they may not be perceived as a business, is Planned Parenthood. And we're going to be getting to the history of Planned Parenthood and how it came about. So this issue is not a history lesson. Well, it is a history lesson in the sense you're going to learn the background, but it affects everyone today. And it's in the news today. And you get to the modern progressives of today are real upset that Congress passed that bill. And it's primarily the conservatives, the Tea Party movement, and not everyone on the Tea Party, by the way. I would say the majority of the Tea Party wants the repeal of Obamacare. But some are pro-choice and I rather say pro-abortion. Or upset about that, but I would say the majority of the Tea Party movement, you know, favors the stop. We can't afford Obamacare. We went over the budget last time. The deficit, this is his proposal that President Obama proposed a budget of over $3,700 billion that would result in it right out of the box out of a deficit of over $1,600 billion. He calls that being fiscal responsibility. I call that being totally, completely reckless and out of touch. And why language is important, and I'm going to get into that in a minute in terms of how the word eugenics has evolved and why it's evolved. I'm relating to last week's story, and this amazes me. The president said within the middle of this decade, the U.S. budget would be in primary balance. Well, I looked at the numbers, and so did a lot of numbers. We looked at it. It's still in deficit. What is he talking about? Well, we found out last week. Secretary of Treasury was testifying. And they were asking him about it. What do you mean it's in balance? We're running deficits, over $1,000 billion deficits here on out. Yes, it slowly gets lower, but it's in deficit. Well, what they mean, and again, they sort of trace this term, you know, it's in primary balance. What they were referring to is the tax receipts would equal the tax expenditures. But they left out interest. And at that point in time, I think it's over $600 billion. Now, imagine you ran your family like that. Let's say you're making $2,000 a month. That's your take home after taxes. And you're sitting down with your wife, you know, paying the bills and say, good news. We have exactly $2,000 of bills that we can pay, and we have $2,000 of income. It's balance. And your wife looks at you kind of funny and says, honey, what are you talking about? And you say, well, it's in balance. You know, we're spending as much as I'm bringing in. And she says, honey, we owe $500 minimum payment on our credit cards. And that's just to pay the interest. We're short. And that's exactly what President Obama's doing writ large. You're delusional. You got to consider all your expenses. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this and emphasizing is you got to watch out about the language. Language is used to persuade people to do things that if they really thought about, they wouldn't do. And people spend a lot of money to come up with the right words to convince you to do something. And the eugenics movement is no different. And they had to come up today. Seldom in the news will you hear eugenics mentioned. It's not that people don't talk about it. It's just eugenics is not the word to use. At one time, now the reason why, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead, eugenics was popular in the early 1900s. It went out of favor after World War II. And the reason why, and you can guess it, is the extermination of over 6 million Jews in Germany during World War II, as well as, you know, Christians, political opponents, Russians, Americans, in concentration camps. And Hitler was a big believer in eugenics. A matter of fact, where do you think he got many of his ideas from? Two places. Great Britain, where eugenics was started by a man named Galton, as well as the United States. And he was an admirer of it and sought the advice of Americans and British. Now, I sort of jumped ahead, but the reason why I mention that is because of World War II, during the 40s, the eugenics movement did some research, call it market research, and said we need to change the terminology. And initially, the words used were population control. We have to control the population growth. Now, what they really meant was we have to control the population growth of blacks. They didn't say it that way. They said population growth. We have too many people in poverty that are having a lot of children, and it's costing too much money. We have to control that population. Well, that term didn't go down well, especially in the United States. Instead, it was replaced by the term family planning. And a leading proponent of family planning used to be called ABC, the American Birth Control League. I'm sure you've probably never heard of the American Birth Control League. But I'm sure you also have heard of Planned Parenthood. So you need to change the names. No longer was eugenics. It was no longer population control. It's family planning. Doesn't that sound nice? Family planning and Planned Parenthood. We all like to plan ahead. But that's not what it was about. What it really was about is decreasing the growth rate of the black population in the United States. Now let's back up a little bit. And I'm not going to remember, this is, I'm giving you a little history because it's Black History Month. I'm going to relate it to the black, our black brothers and sisters in a minute. But the start of the eugenics movement was in the political elites of the United States that were concerned, and it was not limited to just blacks. They also went after people that have disabilities, feeble-minded, the retarded, people with Down syndrome, people habitual drug users, alcoholics, what they called euphemistically unfit. They were a cost to society, both in upkeep as well as crime. And they would like to get rid of those people. How did they propose to do that? It might surprise you, but many states had sterilization boards. One of the methods recommended by those in the eugenics movement to control the growth of those groups of people that they considered unfit was to sterilize them. And over, I think it's over 30 states eventually passed. You had sterilization boards. And over 60,000 Americans, when these boards existed, you don't have them today. I think the last, but we had them, like I said, the majority of states had them. I don't think we had it in Texas, but you'd be surprised. And I have videos on that as well. But one method was sterilization. Now, obviously, 60,000 is a large number, but it's not really doing the job. That didn't work. If they had their way, they would have euthanized them, killed people. But they knew they couldn't sell that in the United States. But guess what happened in Germany? Before the concentration camps, two things happened. One, they sterilized people just like they were doing in the United States. They used the United States as a model for this. And they also euthanized, which is a nice word of saying kill, the feeble-minded, the retarded, whatever term you understand, people with Down syndrome, people that could not take care of themselves, the very old, the disabled. And they gassed them, just like you take your dog when he's too old. They do that to humans. They gassed them. So it all starts with sterilization, but it doesn't end there. And these were Americans, as well as the British. And this was a popular movement. And it's not necessarily Republicans or Democrats. And it's not every progressive either. Probably the most famous Republican progressive is Theodore Roosevelt. Probably the most emphasis American president that's a Democrat was Woodrow Wilson. But this was just as popular, eugenics was just as popular as the climate change alarmist controversy, hoax, however you want to describe it, is today. And what's interesting, Michael Crichton, excuse me, he wrote a novel, not one of his best ones, but I remember the appendix to it. It was on about the environmental movement and climate change. And he died, I guess, going on 2 years. But in the appendix, he thought that he gave a little history of the eugenics movement because he saw the linkage as well. Eugenics wanted to be, had ambitions to be a science. It really wasn't a science. At its core, what it was is racism. It's thinking that one race or group of people is superior to another group of people. And that's the driver. And there was big money behind it, as it is today. I'm sure you've heard of Andrew Carnegie, a very, very wealthy individual. He sold out his U.S. Steel to J.P. Morgan, a group of it at J.P. Morgan. He was one of the leading funders of the eugenics movement. So was Harriman of railroad fame. And probably the name that's most identified, at least today and continues today, are the Rockefellers. Today is primarily David Rockefeller, but the Rockefeller, his father before him, now not the original Rockefeller, but his children and grandchildren, were big funders of the eugenics movement. And they set up an institute at Coal Harbor in New York. It's northern part of Long Island, to do research on this. It had pretensions, if you will, to be a science. It really wasn't. It was nonsense. But what they were about were to, and their primary goal was to limit the growth of the black population in the United States. And like I said, sterilization really didn't work. They narrowed it down. And the two things that does work were birth control, contraceptives, and abortions. And as you can see, you can do the numbers. If there's over 1 million abortions every year in the United States, and a third are blacks, that's over 330,000 black babies every year that never grow up. So guess what? The eugenics movement was a success and continues to be a success today. Now, this is normally not discussed. It's certainly not discussed on big media. Most people do not want to discuss this issue, do not want to go through the history, especially on the left, because this is primarily, although we have progressive in the Republican Democratic Party, it was primarily the progressives, the socialists, the left, if you will, that were big supporters of this movement, both in the United States, in Great Britain, and in Germany. And remember, Nazis are National Socialists. Actually, I think the full name is the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, whatever. They believe this big time, and it wasn't confined to just blacks. In Germany, you're well aware, Jews, gypsies, the infirmed, your imbeciles, your people that have low IQs, let's put it that way. And it all started, or a lot of it, sadly to say, was pushed in the United States. Now, what happened as a result of the war and the exposure of the gas chambers at various concentration camps, eugenics had to change, had to change their language, had to change how they went about promoting their ideas. Which is understandable. The elites in the United States were embarrassed and should be embarrassed. Now, for example, Rockefeller funded a lot of the institutes in Germany that were doing research in eugenics. And it's still going on. But you don't think of it as eugenics. And the prime example of where you see it today, actually, the general, like I said, up until 1973, abortion was illegal in the United States. As a direct result of the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, it became legal. And that was very, very, very important for the eugenics movement and their supporters, financial backers. Because that enabled them, through Planned Parenthood, and they're successful. In Dallas, I used to live within 5 minutes of the leading abortion clinic in Dallas. I won't say every day, but almost every day. I know during the weekends, there'd be protesters out there. Now, most people could read the signs, but you knew they were pro-life against abortion, but most people were not aware. And it was near Presbyterian Hospital here in Dallas. And you can go on, if you go on my website, I have a link. They do provide abortion services. Now, there's something I want, before I forget, there's something that needs to be said. And I mentioned Dr. Bernard Nathanson's video, The Silent Scream. Today I listened, if you've listened to previous shows, I listened to a lot of talk radio, primarily to see how they're approaching different stories. And this wasn't a story. This was basically, this was on the news, that Dr. Bernard Nathanson had died. And I had not made up my mind that I was going to cover this today. I had other things that I could have talked about. And we'll talk about in future shows. But I've done enough preparation that I had planned a show on Black History, but I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to cover. But the more I thought about it, for those that you, and the reason why I'm mentioning him, he had, when he died of cancer, by the way. He was an abortion doctor and had the largest clinic in New York City. And I found a video where he relates his experience. And you could tell it weighs way heavy on his soul. He admitted he's directly responsible for the deaths of 75,000 babies. As far as he is concerned, he killed 75,000 babies. And he's right, he did. However, many years ago, he stopped. and couldn't do it anymore. Now, why? And I think this is very important. And it's very timely as to what's happening today in the United States. He stopped because there's a technology that he went to medical school in the late 40s. And I believe it was the early 70s. I don't know the exact year, but I'm pretty sure it's the early 70s. You had sonograms came online. Technology developed. It became practical. And today it's somewhat routine. I think most mothers have sonograms that are having babies. They want to have sonograms. So besides the video, the first video I recommend you see on Black genocide. The second, if you have not seen this, and I warn you, it'll disturb you. You will see in the video, and remember, this video was made many, many years ago in the 70s, an actual abortion being taking place. What you're seeing is a sonogram. Now, today, this is routine. At that time, these are the early days. And what's abundantly clear, and you can see the probe, what happens is you see the baby in the womb fighting for its life as an actual abortion is taking place. He's trying to avoid the probe that ultimately is going to kill him. And people who have seen that, and remember, not only did he see it, but other people, and this has happened to many doctors, as well as people that assist in it, they see that, and they make the connection that is a human being, it's alive, it's fighting for its life. What you're doing is killing another human being. Now remember, 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, you didn't have this visibility. The technology is showing that even in the early weeks, what you're dealing with is a live human being. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. That's what you're doing. You're killing another human being, a defenseless human being, for many, many years. Even if it's born, it's very much dependent on its mother and its parents. Yet even in the womb, and it is very graphic, and it will disturb you if you've not seen it. I'm telling you that, but it's well worth seeing if you have any doubts that is not a human being, a live human being. Yet today, there are Americans, and I understand this, I don't agree with it, that don't think that's killing another human being. That they think it's really a mother's decision or a woman's decision. Where I differ is very strongly is there's another person involved. It's the baby. And it's a baby at conception. It's a human being at conception. And you do not have the right to kill that human being. And I know there are people that have the opposite view to that. But it comes down to that. And if you watch that video, and you're not disturbed by it, I'm scratching my head. What if it were you? And see, that's the issue. Who's the most defenseless here? It's not the mother. It's not the father. Certainly not the doctor. And what's going on A medical practice is a business. Performing abortions in the United States is a big business. How big? Planned Parenthood has a budget of over $1 billion, of which about a third, or over $330 billion, until recently, was funded indirectly by the federal government. Now, they will claim that it doesn't go to abortion. It might go to pay the lights or other services, but money is fungible. If the government indirectly funds some other medical services that Planned Parenthood provides, then Planned Parenthood does not have to use the funds it raises from its financial backers on that, and can instead allocate it towards performing abortions. And I'm sure, well, not sure, because I know I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I know there's a real horror story. Now, this is not related, it's not a Planned Parenthood clinic. But where this leads to is graphically seen in a case, a murder case in Philadelphia, of a black doctor charged with murder that's been performing abortions for decades. And I provided the clip. Now, what's different and what's the horror of it, although I say the horror of it, I don't see much of it. I see a difference, but what got most people upset about it, even more upset, these babies were actually delivered before they were killed, and then were killed. So instead of doing what's called a late-term partial abortion in the womb, which I think is infanticide, I'm pro-life, in case you haven't guessed, the doctor would actually deliver it and then kill a baby outside the womb. As far as I'm concerned, that's murder. But I think killing within the womb is just as much murder. And this was going on. And I really don't want to visit the details. I put a video on it towards the bottom in background videos. But this is where it leads, where you have a disrespect for life, where this is considered normal. Like I said, abortion is not rare in the United States. Even though there's been a decline over 1 million abortions a year, that's not rare. Several thousand are performed every day. I'm sure today there's at least half a dozen or more abortions that are being performed right here in Dallas. Right here, go down Greenville Avenue, right across from Presbyterian Hospital, is where you can look it up in Google, is the Planned Parenthood Center. And babies are being murdered today in Dallas. Now, what Planned Parenthood does not want is the people that come to them seeking abortion to see the sonograms. And what's been in the news in Texas is there is a bill that will be requiring that mothers that want to see that be required to see sonograms. And I'm hoping and praying that women who are, let's say, upset about it, will see, upset's the wrong word, are in this condition and see the sonogram, will decide against having an abortion. See, in some cases, the sonograms are used to actually perform an abortion. But what the sonogram does, it really demonstrates to people that you're dealing with an alive human being. And someone's trying to get in the station. So if you hear a little noise in the background, I'll let you on what's happening. So that's the background, the history. Hang on one second, I'll take a break. Sorry for that interruption. Somebody had to give me some information about news at 5 o'clock. Now, it's not 5 o'clock yet. We got about 4 minutes. I'm just looking it over to see if I need to read this or not. Okay, these are some news stories for 5 o'clock. I'm sorry for this interruption. When I'm doing a show, I'm kind of focusing in on the show. Don't like to be interrupted. I have about 9 minutes, and I want to kind of tie this whole where I'm going with it. It's important that all Americans understand history. Because where we are today didn't start today. It started many, many years ago. And there's good and evil in the world. And you have to decide, based on your conscience and your principles, your ethics, your morals, your religion, what you consider right and wrong. And you need to be informed by history. And today, unfortunately, fewer and fewer Americans know their history. Now, I think that's changing. I think we're having right now what Ronald Reagan called the second American Revolution. We're having a revival. People more and more are interested in the founding fathers, the principles that founded this republic. And the reason is the United States, through politicians supported by corporations as well as individuals with wealth, have been advocating more and more government. And that is not what America is about. America is about individuals and individual responsibility. And one of the evils of government, it can push policies such as funding, government funding of medical procedures such as abortion, that the vast majority of decent, fair Americans don't support. Yet, for over 40 years, Planned Parenthood, and they're not the only ones by far, have been killing human beings in the United States. Perfectly legal. And it was the political elite, the elites in this country, many of them who were avowed racist, that supported the eugenics movement, still support the eugenics movement. Now they dress it up, whether it's population control or family planning, What it ultimately is, it's the killing of a human being. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you're religious, it's a sin, a mortal sin. It should not be tolerated. And I know amongst progressive and liberals, it's a woman's right. Excuse me. There's another human here. It's called a baby. They have rights too. And your woman's rights don't trump that right. It's killing. It's murder. So I don't care, frankly, whether that upsets you. And like I said, a lot of Americans do not want to talk about this topic. And remember, I've just given you the surface of the history. One of the ladies, well, the lady responsible for the founding of Planned Parenthood was Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is a hero. She's dead, by the way. But she is today a hero of the left, of socialists, of the progressive, including Hillary Clinton. And she was an avowed racist. She had what was called the Negro Project. Do you know what the Negro Project was? How can we kill blacks so that their numbers decline over time? That's the core of what it was about. At first, it was contraceptives. Or birth control. Then it was abortions. And her legacy is Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm sure, and I know this, because I have friends, that are fully, blacks and whites, that fully support Planned Parenthood. And the line you hear, it's a woman's right. Yes, women have rights. But you don't have, I don't care who you are, man or woman, you don't have the right to kill another human being. And that's what you're doing. And for your blacks, the eugenics movement succeeded. Over 330,000 blacks are killed every year in clinics like Planned Parenthood. The Ku Klux Klan could not have had a better program than what Planned Parenthood and other clinics like it are doing in the United States today, many by blacks. And I will end it with a political note. Who do you think is one president? And actually, there's two. But today, who is the leading supporter of Planned Parenthood by far? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's President Barack Obama. And I too have the videos on my site. That's promptpops.wordpress.com. It's a WordPress blog. Just type in promptpops.wordpress. It'll take you to the page. It'll take you to the page for today's program that has the videos. Now, I'm running out of time. I got about 50 seconds to go. So I wish you all a happy Black History Month. But to sum it up, if you want to learn about American history as well as Black history, look at that documentary about Black genocide. And that's what it is. It is Black genocide. As well as the silent scream, and connect the dots. And ask yourself, Why are they killing so many blacks? Simple, to save a lot of money. Kind of crude, but that's what it's about. And that's why you have the eugenics movement. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is 5:05. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas, and you've been listening to The Prompt Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening for today's show. I know it's been a rather serious subject, so now let's go back to the music.